"Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest?" He said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets."
Good morning. How are we doing this morning? Wonderful. All right. So, welcome to Glenmar if this is your first time. For those of you who may not know me, my name is Jordan Battle. I've been a youth here at Glenmar for officially about a year and a half now. And just a little bit to know about me, I am a senior at Long Reach High School and will be attending the University of Maryland this fall. I play the violin and I used to play volleyball. I am also in my school's science club, and yesterday we had an all-day competition. So if I look like I'm going to daze off during any part of this sermon, please just bear with me. I've been fortunate enough to have been chosen to serve as a page for the Maryland General Assembly in about a week, and this is in preparation of my dreams of becoming a civil rights attorney. I've always had a passion for treating others with respect and equality, and I found myself talking about it a lot. I really did. I talked about it all the time. And one day, my mom was like, "Jordan, you have to stop arguing with me about everything and just become a lawyer." So I decided I'm going to be a civil rights attorney, which brings me to my love for politics and social justice. Now, please do not be scared by me saying this. Do not shut down. It's going to be okay. How many of us have been told no politics or religion at the dinner table? Because I know I sure have. These two subjects have been very controversial, and your family may want to try to avoid talking about them. And today I'm not going to so much talk about them separately, but rather bring them together. Our country has been described as a divided nation for these past couple months, whether that be conservative versus liberal, conservative versus liberal, Democrat versus Republican, or Chipotle versus Qdoba, which, I mean, I'm for Chipotle. But I have one request for you during my sermon today. Forget about the labels that you identify with. Forget about if you're conservative, if you're liberal, if you're for Qdoba or Chipotle, because I encourage you to listen to what I have to say with open ears, hearts, and minds. During my sermon today, I will be talking about how Christianity is the epitome of loving rather than hating, which, yeah, that's kind of like Christianity's slogan, if you will. And we can sometimes find it hard to actually execute it. So there's one verse in the Bible that I immediately knew I had to talk about, which is in Matthew, where a lawyer approaches Jesus and asks, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law?" Jesus replied, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself." Now, when you first read this verse, it doesn't sound too complicated. A good Christian is one who loves God and loves other people. But if we want to delve deeper in the actual meaning of it, we have to look at the line, we have to ask the question, who are our neighbors? If you ask me, I would say somebody who lives in my neighborhood, but is it really that simple? To me, I envision that to God, neighbors are everybody living in this earth. So not only are they the people living in your neighborhood, they're the people you go to work with, the people you go to school with, the people living in Maryland, people living in America, and simply every person living in this world. We are all neighbors. How many of you actually know every single person living in your neighborhood? You might, I don't, but just because you don't know them does not make them not your neighbor. So you still need to treat them with love and respect. The world is our home, and we collectively live here together and should do so without hate or judgment. Let's look at the line, loving your neighbor like loving your God. I think we tend to find that loving our God is a lot easier than loving each other. I mean, I'll be the first to say I sure have disrespected people in my past, but to Jesus, the most important thing we can do is to love one another like loving God. I'm not saying, but loving, sorry, I'm really nervous. Okay, there are many, many rules in the Bible, some you may not even know about, but to Jesus, the most important is to love each other and to love God. And I'm not saying that the other rules don't matter, because they do, but at the end of the day, we need to make sure that we're always falling back on loving each other like we love God. We cannot judge people who, for breaking one of the many, many rules in the Bible, because that simply just goes against loving them, which will lead me into judgment. We all have done it, whether it be consciously or unconsciously. Us humans tend to resort to the judgment of others. I've been taking an independent research class this past year, studying why stereotypes override logic. And first, we have to note the difference between stereotypes, prejudice, and discrimination. A stereotype is the generalization of a person or a group of people, while prejudice is a preconceived opinion about someone based off of a stereotype, while discrimination is the actual unjust treatment of that person being stereotyped. So stereotypes are the root of the problem. Without stereotypes, prejudice and discrimination cannot occur. And stereotypes have always confused me throughout my life because, I mean, logically, one person could not possibly represent an entire group of people. So that's why I've been studying this in hopes of understanding why people actually stereotype. And while researching, I found very compelling evidence as to why humans tend to resort to biasing. And I came across a research suggesting that people tend to justify their biases with religion. And I was awestruck when I first read that, because I just thought about how much my religion places importance on loving and forgiveness, not judgment and hate. But then I realized that we as followers of Christ may actually be culprits of this. We may have preconceived opinions about people because that's what we've collectively been learning to do. And when we see someone committing a sin, we immediately judge them, but don't we all sin just the same as they do? Raise your hand if you were at Pastor Matt's sermon when he talked about the sheep. You'll know exactly what I'm talking about if you were there. Wonderful. So if you weren't, don't worry. A quick summary. Scene takes place. Istanbul, Turkey, 2005. One sheep decided, I'm going to go run off this cliff. And 1,500 sheep decided to follow. Now, don't worry, the 1,500 didn't all die, but the first 450 did, and the others were saved by the sheep. Anyway, so the point of the story was to connect humans to sheep, because we may not always make the best decisions, and while that's a similarity that humans have with sheep, there's another one that we like to be in herds. Bertrand Russell, a British author who studied philosophy, religion, and society during a time of great social change in Great Britain, wrote, "Collective fear stimulates herd instinct. Human beings, once presented with fear, no matter the extremity, tend to resort to wanting to belong in their group, people like them, in order to feel a sense of security. Humans do this because of their need for the in-group, out-group phenomenon, which so once in their group, everybody else is in the out-group, and we can sometimes find ourselves placing fear onto everybody else. And I have a video for you guys to watch now, if it will work.
Yep. Hey, you mind if I eat lunch with you?
No, hey, come on, have a seat.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Hey, you got a little something on your shirt right there.
Oh, where?
Down there, on your shirt.
I'm still not seeing it.
It's as plain as the face on your nose.
Don't you mean the nose on your face?
Okay, whatever that is on your shirt, it's really starting to gross me out.
I still don't see. Did I drop something on my shirt?
Does a one-legged duck swim in a circle? I can't believe you don't see it. It's so obvious.
Oh, you mean this crumb?
Yeah, finally. I wish you could have seen how messy your shirt looked.
Okay, so, although that video was quite exaggerated, I think we can all relate to being hypocritical at some times in our lives. In Matthew 7, 1-5, it reads, "Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, 'Let me take the speck out of your eye,' when all the time there's a plank in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove that speck from your brother's eye." And to me, this verse speaks volume. We all have something we can be judged for. Every one of us has got some dirt, no matter how hard you try to clean it. So why do we continuously judge other people? Well, because we're so caught up in our in-group that we tend to focus on other people's problems rather than addressing our own. Like the lawyer in Matthew 22, we try to justify ourselves after facing judgment. We say, well, yeah, I may do this, but at least I don't do that. And we use aspects of our religion and culture to justify judgment against others, all while ignoring the possibility of our own. But we as humans have no right to judge other people, whether that be due to their sexual orientation, religion, or race, because at the end of the day, our God is the one who judges, and his judgment is the only one that has value. If the Bible and Christianity counteract against hate and judgment of others, it's time we collectively, as followers of Christ, start doing the same. I'm proud to call myself a Christian because of how it places so much importance on loving one another rather than hating. God put us all here for a reason, and he made us all in his image. And we as humans must forget about the politics that has slandered it all by dividing us into endless labels and start accepting that we are all God's children. Jesus treated even those who judged or wronged him with love. He treated those considered to be foreigners equally. He showed those who have sinned with compassion. And Jesus taught the words of God and did so by advocating for love and equality. So what I want you to be able to take away from my sermon today is to know who your neighbor is. Know that we are all neighbors to each other, and I challenge you to interact with someone you may not usually associate with, because exposure to different people is the best way to counteract against judgment against them. Diversify the people in your life by talking to different people, whether that be at school or work or even here at this church. Engage with your neighbors, whether that be by starting a conversation while you pass each other in the neighborhood, or asking people about their own cultures and their own stories. And to love that neighbor like you love God through respect, hospitality, and service. And while these could definitely be achieved through one of our many mission trips here at this church, it can easily be done in your everyday lives. I challenge you to try to see yourself in them and think about all the times you've needed to be shown love by others and accept that we all need the same. Understand them, show them grace and forgiveness, and pray for them. Because through this, you'll be able to show God's love as well as your own. And lastly, to stop judging others when you can be judged yourself. We all constantly have a plank in our eyes, and while this may not go away, I encourage you to be conscious of it. Be aware that you are judging someone and ask yourself, is this really a rational conclusion to who this person is before you automatically put that judgment with that person? Put yourself in their shoes just as they can put themselves in yours. So as I end the sermon today, I challenge you to start living your life just as Jesus did and to start truly loving each other without judgment, just as we love God. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray to you today as your children, each and every one of us. We thank you for loving us without judgment and pray you help us do the same for each other. We pray that through your love and grace, we can show no judgment or hate to one another and continue following you and Christ in your image. We pray that you continue to bless our lives and help us to get through the problems we are dealing with. We pray that we can overcome whatever biases we hold against each other because we are all neighbors, and we pray that we will start showing each other the same love we show you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.